Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. How's that sound? If I've not met you, my name is Dan Knust. I'm the youth pastor here at the church. The Pastor Dan, Lord willing, will be back next Sunday. He just asked, he's got family in town, asked if I would fill in this morning. So you poor souls get to put up with me today. How's that sound? I want to just give you a little bit of background on where this all came from again. And we've had a really good Advent season. I'm going to kind of stay within the Advent thought just a little bit this morning. But this message that I want to share with you guys this morning was kind of inspired. I've been thinking about this scripture, and we meet every Friday morning at Main Bagel. It's a shameless plug, as Pastor Tanner puts it all the time, for men's breakfast, 6 o'clock, Main Bagel, every Friday morning. Travis Myers leads a study for us. And as we were sitting around talking a couple of weeks ago, we started to discuss this idea of Mary and Joseph, of course, being the Christmas season, but then also this idea of how many times the angel appeared to the two of them and then gave them a message for them to follow. But then how many times after that, that God confirmed this to their hearts? Point being is you got Mary, who was met by the angel Gabriel, said she would give birth to the Son of God. His name is going to be Jesus. So you got Mary in that situation. She goes to see Elizabeth, her relative. And when she meets Elizabeth, that's confirmed to her that Mary's not crazy. Because if you think about what really Mary and Joseph went through, it's pretty remarkable that they stayed as obedient as they did. Because when the angel Gabriel would come speak to them, they were very obedient to what they were told. But along the way, God encouraged their hearts and confirmed to them what they were hearing was true. Joseph, Mary comes back from visiting with Elizabeth. We all know the story. Mary shows up pregnant. Joseph's like, oh my goodness, my world just turned upside down. Not did Mary's, but so did Joseph. Joseph was met by the angel Gabriel and went to confirm to Mary's heart what Gabriel had told her to be true, because Joseph come with the same message from the angel that Mary received. So you watch all these different times that to confirm at the birth of our Savior. Who showed up at the manger scene? Not the wise men, as we learned from our pastor this last Advent season, but the shepherds. What did the shepherds come with? Confirmation of who the child was. And I think a lot of times in our lives, God does this. And I'm going to continue that confirmation a little bit, hopefully, Lord willing, this morning as we get through this. But as we were sitting around talking about this that Friday morning at breakfast, I'm just like, it's amazing to me how God will confirm to our hearts through other people. See, a lot of times we wonder, how does God speak to us? How do we hear from God? Yes, sometimes we hear directly from the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times we hear what we're prompted with. Someone else will come alongside of us and encourage us from God to confirm what we're going through, what we're hearing, the direction of our life is accurate. I'll give you an example. Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, when I get the opportunity to preach, I don't clear the parking lot before I feel like the worst preacher on the planet, because we have a supernatural foe that's trying to tell us that we did a rotten job. Well, I have chosen over the years by the coaching of my pastor, Pastor Dan, to listen to the right radio station. So when I'm walking across the parking lot, I will tell myself, no, Lord, I did what you wanted me to do this morning, whether I did it well or not, I did it. Does that make sense? So through that obedience, I get confirmation in my heart by listening to God, remembering what he told me to do, just like this morning, okay? But I have lost track of the times. You'll get a message from someone later in the day. Just wanted to let you know that message really spoke to my heart. See, that's not them saying that. That's God confirming to me, individually to me, that you did exactly what I wanted you to do, Dan. Keep doing it. Does that make sense to you guys? So a lot of times, if we want to know how do we hear from God, the prompting of the Spirit, yes, but confirmation from other people. But watch this. I tell students this all the time. We're going to talk a bit about the obedience of God this morning, being obedient to God. I'm constantly talking to high schoolers. My desire for you is just to listen to God and do what he tells you to do. And they say, well, I don't understand how that works. When I have a high schooler, just in particular, just shoot me a text message real quick and say, hey, you know what? That was a big help to me tonight. I'm so glad you shared that. I tell them right there, you know what they just did? They were being obedient to God. Because see, God laid it on their heart to share that thought with one of the pastors or somebody else that might be a Christian. Does that make sense to you guys? And we see that confirmation coming continually through scripture. And looking this morning, we're going to see another area that they were confirmed. Joseph and Mary had confirmation that they weren't crazy. But see, here's what Joseph and Mary did though. When God would speak to their heart, they did it. The confirmation came later. See, when God speaks to our heart, our whole desire, just be obedient to Him. Just this next year, as we look into the new year and we're reflecting over last year and we're looking into the new year now, going into 2026, really? Say that out loud. That's crazy, isn't it? Who remembers Y2K? Raise your hand. Amen, brother. I like the gray-haired people in the room. Thank you very much. That's a good deal. But you think about 2026, and the whole desire this morning for me is to share a story out of Scripture that proves to us what being obedient to the prompting of the Spirit looks like, and then also having that confirmation to someone else. So here's a side note, a little bit of a rabbit trail. In your life this next year, if God says, hey, you know what? Shoot a text message or a phone call to this person. Don't delay. Because that's God speaking to your heart, because He knows what that other person needs at that moment. Does that make sense to you guys? I look around the room and I see a lot of college students in here. If you're a parent and you think, man, I should call my kid and tell him how proud I am of them, do it. Don't delay. Here's my prayer life. If I'm in my prayer life in the morning and someone comes to mind, I hope God doesn't get mad at me. I will stop, shoot them a text message real quick, let them know I'm praying for them. Why? Because I'll forget. If I don't, amen? Anybody else? Because I just forget, I get busy. Husbands, how many times, this is all for free, by the way, I'll get into the message in just a second. Husbands, how many times do we think to ourselves, I have the most amazing wife on the planet, or I'm so proud of my kids, and we have those thoughts, but they never leave our minds. See, Joseph and Mary experienced stuff from people to confirm to them that they were going to be okay, that they weren't nuts, that this baby that they were holding was the savior of the world. And that confirmation came through a lot of different people. You guys, this next year, when we have something that God lays on our hearts, I want us to be willing to confirm that to someone else. Men, don't wait any longer to tell your wife how amazing she is. Write it on a note card. Send yourself a text message if you can't do anything else to remind you later that day to tell your wife how much that you love her. And ladies, look at me. We are wimps. We live and die by your words. You guys don't understand as wives how important it is for us as men to hear from our wives that we're amazing. We're Tarzan swinging from the vines. They're so glad that they're married to us. Ladies, you don't have any idea how much that means to us, I don't think, because sometimes men don't respond in the right manner. Does that make sense? So if God lays it on your heart, you do it. You be like what we're going to talk about this morning, Simeon, and you just mind the Holy Spirit of God this next year. If you will do that, you're growing the Lord, your families will be stronger, you'll stand on more solid ground this next year, and you will be so blessed because you're simply this, obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to your heart. And that's what we see in Simeon as we're going to look at this morning. So I want to stay in this vein a little bit, okay? If I can give this message a title this morning, and if you're an English major in this room, forgive me because I'll never say the right English, okay? I'm always going to be off on that. But here's what I would say the title is, Waiting Well. Whether that's right English, I don't know, but Waiting Well. Think about that thought for just a second as we look into 2026. Look over your shoulder for a minute. Have you waited well in 2025? And when I say waiting well, waiting on the Lord, obviously, and waiting for other things, waiting for development, waiting for job change, waiting for money to come in, whatever, waiting for a good report from the doctor, whatever that is. Waiting well is what I want to focus in on this morning. I want to stay within the Christmas story, if you will. And we're going to go, if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look through 22 through 35 this morning as we break this down a little bit. This can, and our pastor did a really good job last week. Pastor Dan did a great job of explaining what we were doing during the Advent season this year, where we took that the message of the Messiah, the message of Mary, the message of the manger, and the message of the Magi is all the undertow of all that is submission to God. Being submissive to God. And I want to stay within that idea this morning as we look at this. It's submission that continues through the Christmas story. So I want to give you a little background here real quick before we get into the meat of the message. I'm going to use the scripture this morning to give you the background, to give you the context. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, it says this, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise the child. He was named Jesus, which means the Lord saves, Joshua, like Pastor Dan talked about last week. The name the angel had given him before he was conceived, Jesus. He'd been circumcised on the eighth day, okay? Then verse 22 of Luke chapter 2 says, when the time came for the purification rite required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, that being Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is consecrated to the Lord and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Watch, real quick. Think about this story for a second. When you think about submission and obedience to God, just for a minute, let's just play around for just a second. What if Joseph and Mary had not followed what was required in the law? What if they had just said, I don't feel like doing it God's way today? None of this would have happened. God would have still got his work done. Don't get me wrong. He would have got done what he wanted to. But if they weren't obedient to what God wanted them to do, they don't get the blessing of what they experience. Do you guys understand that? Going into 2026, I pray it's a year of obedience to people. Now, when Jesus was 40 days old, Mary and Joseph traveled a few miles north of Bethlehem to Jerusalem to offer this sacrifice that was required in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Adam Clark says it this way. A pair of turtle doves. This is where we see the poverty that our Lord was born into. Normally, it would be they would have to bring a lamb. But Joseph and Mary didn't have the wherewithal, the finances to do that. So as Adam Clark says, one, they brought a pair of turtle doves, one for a burnt offering and the other one for a sin offering. The rich required a lamb. But think about this. Did they not bring the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? That's Jesus Christ. That was that. Do you realize that's that baby? That's a little bitty baby they carried in 40 days old into the temple. That is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The one who hung on the cross for us as he grew up. That's an amazing. So they did bring the lamb, but being poor, as Adam Clark says, they brought the two turtle doves, one for a burnt offering and the other one for a sin offering. Now I want to get into the meat of what I want to talk about this morning. Simeon. So turn with Luke chapter 2, verses 25. I'll read the scripture, and then we're going to break this down. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do what was accustomed to that the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation, your salvation, which has been prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. See the confirmation? Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce your own soul too. This is kind of the after the Christmas story, after the birth, sort of that lingering in the Christmas season that we're in right now. This is what took place. So I want to make three stops this morning along the way. I want to look at the person of Simeon. I want to look at the promise of Simeon. And I want to look at the prophecy of Simeon this morning as we break this down. And again, remember what the theme is. Waiting well in submission to God. And being obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. So the first thing we see, point one is this, the person of Simeon. Verse 25 says this, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Before we look at what he said to Joseph and Mary and what he did, I want to look at Simeon for a second. Because if you really think about this, till I know someone, it doesn't matter what they say. There's not a whole lot of meat put into what somebody's going to tell me unless I know them and I know their heart. So I want to look at Simeon. Simeon lived in Jerusalem. He was most likely an old man, and we see that just in the way he responds to what, Lord, I'm ready to go home. Take me now. And you guys, boy, listen to me. On Thursday mornings, we have a group called the Amazing Grace that meet in our church. And that is a group of older folks that are still serving God, praying like crazy for our pastors and our church and people in need, going through Bible studies, doing all this stuff every single Thursday morning. They have a community that meets. I really want you guys to hear me in this room. If you have gray hair and you think you're done, you are not done. The younger generation, I'm a high school pastor, you guys. The younger generation needs steady, gray-haired Christians that are just willing to walk through the pain, the discomfort, the chronic illness, all the stuff that you do and you go through. I want you to know what an inspiration you are for young people. I'm not that young, you guys, and I got a lot of gray hair. But I get to hang around with these high schoolers every week, and they energize me in such a way that continues in my faith. But if you are not done, if you have gray hair, you know when you'll be done serving? When you hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And young ones, look at me. I want you to be able to look at the ones like I used to when I first became a Christian at the age of 38. I used to look at the gray hairs and I thought, man, I just marveled and just hoped that I could be that faithful to God at that age. And I would stand and I would look back at all the young ones I got to work with back in those days and the energy and the desire they had to walk the halls of school and be faithful to God. I stood in the middle of that and I was so inspired by that. We need each other. Generations need other generations. Yeah, kids are punks. And yes, they don't understand everything and they think they know everything. And old folks, we get along, we think we don't know anything. So we start to part ways. You guys, I want this to be an explosion in our church. When you're fellowshipping on a Sunday morning and you got gray hair, walk up. I dare you. Walk up and say hi to one of the kids. Because we have very good kids in this church. Our young ones, junior hires in high school, they're wonderful young people. And young people, don't you dare be afraid to walk up and say hi to someone. And we say, I have the privilege to talk a lot about this stuff in the high school room because I'm not a young man anymore. And I have the opportunity to tell them what it's like to be a little farther down the road and the things that happen to you. And when we get cranky as old people, we got to get our... If you're in here and you're cranky because you got a chronic illness, can I tell you what you need to do? Get your eyes off yourself and start serving God. Amen. That's the best thing you can do, you guys. How do I know that? You're looking at him. How do you think I can go through this every Wednesday night with these high schoolers? Because I'm busy serving the Lord. I've got my head down and I've got myself serving. That's what Simeon was doing as an old man. We don't know what his vocation was. We don't know what he was doing every day in the temple, but we know he was faithful to God. We don't know much about his physical description. Oh, but we know a lot about his spiritual description. He was righteous and devout. I love that we get that spiritual description of him, that righteousness toward right toward other and treating others well. Right is applied to his character and his action, that righteousness. We're going into 2026, right? The gyms are going to be full, aren't they? I wonder if prayer closets will be full. Are you going to focus more on your spiritual than you are your physical this year? Because here's what I know. If you're tired physically, you're not tired physically. You're worn out spiritually. You're depleted spiritually. If you're just like, I can't do it anymore, pay attention to your spiritual life because I really believe that's where you'll find that. He was devout. He was devoted to God. Simply means he feared God and walked with God. He's not superhuman. Simeon is not a superhuman individual. He was faithful to God and he was righteous and he was devout. And there's not a person in this room that couldn't have the same thing said about them if you choose to. I say this often, you're right where you want to be as you sit in your chair this morning. You are right where you want to be in your relationship with God. Don't blame it on anybody else. It's you. This is between you and God, but he was righteous and he was devout. Clark puts it this way, this man was distinguished because he was singular piety. Because of his singular mind, he wasn't double-minded. His life was about God. And that was all it was about. And we know that God does not, 1 Samuel 16:7 makes it very clear, God does not see as men see. We look at the outward appearance. God doesn't do that. He looks at the inward. And we know that from Scripture. So as we reflect on this, allowing God to search my heart this year, as I start this new year, Lord, I don't want to do a bunch of New Year's resolutions. I'd like to repent from some stuff. Amen? I don't want a resolution. I want repentance in my life. And if God's speaking to your heart this morning and you've got some things you need to turn from, today's the day you do that. So what are you paying most attention to? Because we're already deciding, a lot of us. What are we choosing? What are we going to choose to pay the most attention to this next year? My physical, which we should do. Because if we're not physically well, we can't serve the Lord that much. That's where Paul, I believe, prayed three times for God to take it away from him, that thorn in the flesh. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And we have to live within that grace. But I'm going to encourage you guys, be physically fit. Spend time being active this year. I think it's good for our bodies, but this is temporal. As you serve physically, make sure you're developing yourself spiritually, because I believe one doesn't go well without the other. Does that make sense? So when we look at Simeon, that's what we see. This, and the thing that I really like about Simeon is this. He was eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel. Eagerly waiting. Basically means he was waiting for the Messiah. But he wasn't just hanging around, not doing anything. Eagerly waiting means to me he was doing something active. Simply put, he believed God's word and he lived like it. He waited well because of that. Do you believe God's word? Do you really believe you're a new creation in Christ? Born again? See, there's things for us to do this next year that God has scheduled for us. Divine appointments, I believe. And if we're not going to be obedient like Simeon, we're not going to see that. He's a great example of a surrendered life to God. A man under God's authority and who was completely submissive to God's word. I want to challenge you guys. I've been challenging myself through this. Is that my description? Would someone say to you, looking into your life, you're completely surrendered to God, you're a person under God's authority, and you are absolutely submissive to the word of God. When he speaks to my heart, the written word, whatever that is, an encouragement from another person, that's the way I think 2026 should look for us. The second point is this, the promise. Let me read the scripture again one more time. Verse 26. It has been revealed to him that the Holy Spirit would not die before the Holy Spirit would reveal the Lord's Messiah to him. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, where when the parents came in and brought the child for the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised him, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which had been prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." What an amazing picture. Go back. There's a lot of young people in church that have babies. The last thing they like to have people do is come up and handle their kid because they're afraid of that, the sicknesses, whatever that might be, right? But can you imagine Joseph and Mary standing there and having this old man come up and do that with them in the temple? They didn't know Simeon. I had no idea who this guy was. This old guy just walks up and does this. Simeon was led by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God, and was obedient to the will of God. Therefore, he had the privilege of seeing the salvation of the Lord. I love this picture. He took him in his arms and raised him up and praised God because he had saw the Lord's salvation. To me, that is such a beautiful picture of that you see this. He went in and he embraced the child and expressed his gratitude for him. And I don't know whether this lines up or not, but this is what God kind of dropped in the bucket of my heart. Are we doing the same thing as Christians? Are we embracing our Savior? And are we praising him and expressing our gratitude to him that words that our names are just written in the book of life? Listen, you guys, life is hard. But there is one thing we can always celebrate as believers. Two, I would say. One, my name is written in the book of life. That's a promise that God gave me as a believer. And the second thing is, God never promised to fix everything for me, but he did promise to be with me as I go through everything in life. I love that part of God. That's the things about God I embrace and I express with just gratitude. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know about anybody else in the room, and I don't want to be this Christian that says tiptoe through the tulips. Life is hard at times on this side of heaven. But we got God on our side, you guys. Jesus says, you will face trials of any kind, but take heart. I've overcome. And we know that because our name. So if you don't have anything else to celebrate in 26, is your name written in the book of life? You have eternity to celebrate. And you have a God that promised to always be with you no matter what you went through. Are we willing to express that same gratitude to God this next year? Are we willing to follow that example of submission to God as Simeon did when he was so excited to see the Lord's salvation? Do we have that same heart? It's going to be expressed differently with our personalities, obviously, but do we have that same heart? And it says here, as you have promised, or some scriptures say, according to your word, Lord. Simeon knew that he had seen the Lord's salvation, and now he could depart in peace. And I think that's a very important part of this, because Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit of God, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Messiah. And when he did, he was ready to go home. And I think that is such an important part of our lives that we need to pay close attention to. He was ready to die. And I don't want this to be a morbid thing. Are you ready to die? John Wesley says, my people die well. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you saved? Have you given your life to Christ? Are you ready to meet him? And can you say that same thing that Simeon said? Lord, I'm ready. Take me home. Or, Lord, I'm ready for your return. I think there's some things that as a Christian church and as our church and as individuals, we need to ponder these things a little bit, because these are promises God made and promises God kept to Simeon, and he does the same thing with us. This word dismiss your servant in peace, or die, some scriptures say, or depart, in the Greek means a few different things. To release a prisoner, to untie a ship and let it set sail, or to take down a tent. Think about taking down a tent. Paul says these are our tents. We're going to get new ones someday. Praise God, we're going to get new ones, right? We're going to get new ones someday, but we're going to take down this tent someday. Are you ready for your tent to be laid down? Are you ready for the tent stakes of your life to be pulled out so you can go meet God and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant? This is something I think we need to have confirmed our hearts, you guys. I think it's important for us to know this. And notice this, he had seen salvation. I want you guys to hear me. We live in a redneck culture, a get-or-done culture. I grew up in the ranching and farming industry. I know what it's like to go, I don't need help, I can do it on my own. I know what it's like to be 37 years old, not 38 before I knew the Lord, but to be 37 and lose a loved one and say, well, they're in a better place. I think they're in heaven because they were a really good person. Listen, if Simeon saw the salvation of the Lord in that child, it's not about what you do. It's about who you know if you're saved. He saw. He says, I see the Lord's salvation. See, salvation is in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's not about in the good that you do that gets you to heaven. I had coffee with a young man at City Brew yesterday, and he made a comment to me. I said, what is holding you back from giving your life to Christ? I just feel like I just need to get a few things cleaned up, and I just need to be better. I need to be good. I told him, I said, stop that. If you don't feel like you're good enough, you're in the exact place you need to be to call on the name of the Lord. And I use Peter as an example. When he was drowning, Peter didn't try to dog paddle. What did Peter do? He reached up to the Lord and he said, Lord, save me. If today you're in this room, I want you to hear this. Doing good will not get you there. I don't want your family to think, well, he was a really good guy, so I'm pretty sure he's in heaven. No! Seeing the Lord's salvation, Jesus, knowing him, knowing my name is written in the book of life, that's what gets me to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 10 says this, 8 through 9 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no man will boast. Are there good things to do as Christians? Yes. Matthew chapter 5 teaches us, you go do good works that bring your Father glory in heaven. Good things are nice. Good works are better. Good things bring glory to me. Good works bring glory to him. There's a lot of work that we need to do as believers. And I think there's a lot of work, good work to be done. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I am not works-based salvation. We are saved by faith and grace, and that's it. But we also have things to go serve our master, and we got things to do, share the gospel, do wonderful things. So are you ready? Or is this just going to be another year? I know I need to, but just not, I don't know, just not yet. Not yet. See, if you know you need to, God's speaking to your heart. And I want you to stop waiting. I don't want this to be another year of, well, I know I need to be saved. And probably, remember when you decided this last year, 2025 began, you probably said the same thing to yourself. I know it's time. I know I need to get going. I know I need to give my life to God, but not this year. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you decide it's no more good works. I'm not good enough to get myself to heaven. Exactly like I told that young man yesterday, you are right where you need to be if you think you're not good enough to lift up your hand and say, Lord, save me, that I might be born again and know that Jesus dwells in my heart and know that my name is written in the book of life and know that one day I will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, but what of us that are in this room that need to repent? We don't need a New Year's resolution. We need to turn from the things we've been doing quiet in their life that are sin, that bring us shame. And if you're sitting here this morning, there may not be a person in this room, and I hope there's not. But God gave me this thought yesterday. If it's time for you to repent, I know I need to, but I'm going to try harder. No, you're not. You've already tried harder. Has it worked? We know the answer, don't we? Because we've all done it. It's a year of submission and surrender to the Holy Spirit of God that we would do what he asks us to do. So today's the day. Don't wait. Don't think I can do this tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings you guys. I mean, I don't want to be morbid. This is full of joy. This is something we should desire in our lives. This should just bring us peace and hope in all the different things that come with being a Christian. But it's time to knock it off. Stop it. Stop trying harder. Stop thinking you're going to be good enough one day to come to the Lord. Today is the day that you reach up your hand and you call on the name of Jesus. Why? Because when Simeon looked at this child, he saw a great revelation for the Gentiles. Guess who the Gentiles are? Us. If you're not a Jew, guess what you are? You're a Gentile. See, salvation began with Israel for the Jews, but the whole plan all along was to bring it to the Gentiles. And Simeon saw this in that little bitty baby, that if you're a Gentile in this room, you're not a Jew and you're a Gentile, this revelation is for you of a great salvation that needs to be yours someday. The third point is this, the prophecy. It says here in verse 33, The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Stop. What's your heart like this morning? I know I'm long-winded. I know I talk too fast. I know sometimes I go down rabbit trails that I shouldn't, but think about this for a second. How are you this morning as you hear what is being revealed to Joseph and Mary by Simeon through the Holy Spirit as they stand there and listen to this? Are you marveling at what's been said? Are you marveling that this child that we just celebrated at Christmas is our Savior? And he's brought revelation and light to the Gentiles that we might be saved. We should marvel at that this year. We should be overwhelmed at that. We should never get over being saved. We should never get over it. How far God extended that scepter, as our pastor taught us last week, that we might have the opportunity to be redeemed into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We should be stunned at that this year. And we should be eagerly waiting for the second time he comes, which I'll hopefully talk about in just a second. But we should be eager to go tell everybody about the hope that lies within us when they ask. That's how we should live our lives. They marveled at what was said about him, that confirmation. Then Simeon blessed it, blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. Now think, the shift. Mary and Joseph are hearing these miraculous things about Jesus. And then there's a shift. This prophecy turns things a little bit. He says, this child that you hold is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And it will be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul, Mary. Now be Mary and Joseph for a second. Now be a Christian that says, well, you mean there's going to be trials in my life? You mean when I give my life to Christ that it's not just rainbows and butterflies? Hold on. I didn't sign up for this. see the shift with Joseph and Mary. They're like, they're marveling at this. And then all of a sudden they hear the truth of this prophecy. Looking years down the road, the parents were amazed. They were amazed at this. But Simeon went from praising to the prophecy. And within this prophecy, we see three things, three images, a stone, a sign, and a sword. Many will fall and rise. This stone in the Old Testament is an image of God. All throughout the Old Testament, he's my refuge, he's my rock, he's my salvation. And Jesus would be the rejected cornerstone, Scripture teaches us. And Luke chapter 20, verse 17 and 18, it says, Jesus looked at them and said, the stone that the builders have rejected has now become the cornerstone. That's Christ. Everyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone it falls on. Psalm 118, that's a echo of Psalm 118, verse 22. Jesus is going to cause many to stumble, but many to rise and well as well. And this idea, that some will recognize him and accept him, and some will reject him. Do you realize in this room this morning that if you're not giving your life to Christ, what you're doing? You're rejecting God. That's how drastic this is, you guys. Some will receive him, and some will reject him. If you're in this room today and you've been fighting this out with God, you are rejecting God reaching out to you. You're saying, no, I don't want it. Slap in God's hand, get away from me. Do you realize that's how deep this is, you guys? This isn't something that we get to play with in our lives and just act like it doesn't matter. He will be the most hated and the most loved person ever. And this sign that he's going to be, this sign that he's spoken against in the Greek means he's a target that people will shoot at. I used to tell my kids all the time when they were growing up and they were following God, I said, and they were going through hard times at school. They wouldn't go out partying on the weekends, whatever was going on. I said, people aren't, they don't hate you. They hate who lives in you. They don't hate you. You're neutral, but they hate who lives in you. That's where that hate comes from. But he will also reveal the condition of a person's heart, be it good or bad. The light. I had this conversation with that young man yesterday too, because he is getting closer to the light. And the closer we get to the light, the more the light reveals our deeds. Make sense? Now, are you going to start to embrace that light and know that you need a Savior and his name is Jesus? Or as you get closer to that light and you see your deeds, do you drift away? And then you come back over here again, you're like, yeah, no, that's no, and I drift away. We got to embrace that light. Like a goofy example, a bug zapper, that bug comes in and zzz, he's dead, isn't he? See, here's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Life is no longer about us. I'm crucified with Christ. The life I live now is through Jesus Christ himself. So are you hiding? Are you drifting from the light? Or are you drawing near? Are you going to embrace that light when you see the darkness in your life and you know you need to repent or you know you need to give your life to Christ? Are you going to embrace that life? And that sword will pierce your very soul, he said to Mary. That's like a suffering and sorrow of a sword. That's a continual act throughout her life. Moms, think about this. When somebody picks on your child, and you hear he's getting bullied, she or he or she's getting bullied at school, or they're being talked bad about, what happens? Mama Bear shows up, doesn't she? But it breaks your heart, doesn't it? I know it does the hearts of dads. Mary had to live this way all of her life, watching people reject Jesus, accept Jesus, and then eventually, this prophecy has had something to happen some 30 years later when she would stand at the foot of the cross and watch the baby she gave birth to, watch her child on that cross say, Father, please forgive them. My God, why do you forsake me? It is finished. And watching Jesus look down and say to his mother, all these years she's been going through this, and say to his mother, John's taking care of you from now on. I got to go, Mom. This is what I came for. Imagine the piercing of her soul with that sword that had taken place at that time. So I'll wrap it up with this. I got just a few minutes left and we'll be done. Are you ready, like Simeon, for Christ to come back? See, Simeon experienced the first advent, but there's a second advent, you guys. because Christ is coming back as a conquering king. Are you going to be like Simeon? Are you right now like Simeon, eagerly waiting his return? Are you living in the temporal parts of this life with that eternal perspective, waiting for Christ to show up? And are you going to be ready when that twinkling of an eye happens and the church is taken up and our Savior comes back? See, we can't get ready later. We got to be ready now. You know why? Because we don't know when that's going to happen. Simeon had no idea. He just knew what God told him. And see, we need to know that Revelation teaches us specifically, Thessalonians, Revelations, all throughout Scripture. He's coming back as a conquering king, not a suffering servant this next time. And are you going to be ready when he shows up? We have to live in that light of being ready. We got to live in that tension of, I'm living my life in such a way that if I step off into heaven because I die or Christ returns, I'm ready to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. We got to live in that tension because sometimes we just forget. Because I think a lot of times we're living our lives, we love God, but we're not keeping heaven in mind. Because see, here's what I know. If you're struggling in sin and temptation, if you live in the temporal with an eternal perspective, this stuff here, you won't fight with anymore because your eyes are fixed on Christ and you know he's coming back and you want to live a life that brings him honor and glory. So what type of person are you going to be? Are you going to be like Simeon? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready for the Lord's return? Are you going to continue to serve in the meantime? Keep coming to the temple. Keep coming to church, being excited about life. Know my name's written in a book of life. Listening to the Holy Spirit of God as he leads me. That's our job this year as Christians, to live like Simeon. See, because we know this, when God keeps his promises to us, oh man, we're full of joy. But what about the ones that linger? What about the prayers that we haven't had answered yet? Are we still going to be eagerly awaiting to hear from our Lord? That's one of them. Second thing is the promise. Oh, there is a promise of his return. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says this, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who is being taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, he's coming back. He promises. He's coming back. Promises made, promises kept. And he means what he says. Okay, why is he tarrying so much? 2 Peter tells us this, 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some might understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Every one of us. So if you ever wonder why it's taken so long and you're not following God, you might be the reason he's not coming back yet. So maybe it's on you. Little joke in there. We don't know that. Lighten up a little bit. And last one is the prophecy and the proclamation. We know he's coming, but like Simeon, we need to live like we believe God's word and we need to live like it. So here's a few things we can do in the meantime while we wait. Work while you wait. Remember who you work for. Your work is not in vain. Colossians 3:23 says this, you work as though you're working unto the Lord. I don't care if it's homework. I don't care if it's sports. I don't care if it's a mom taking care of her family. I don't care if it's a dad at work. You work as though you're working unto the Lord. Your boss is not your boss. Your boss is Jesus Christ. And we want to bring him glory in everything we do and how we behave at work. Christians should be the most sought after people when it comes to employment. But unfortunately, that is not true. A lot of times Christians, they find out you're a Christian, you're like, oh yeah, I know about you guys, now go ahead. Because somebody had a bad testimony. So we work as though we're working under the Lord. Trust God while you wait. He knows what he's doing. Pray and give thanks to God. Be content. This year, be content in this, please. I know my name is written in the book of life. And I know my God is right here with me. In the worst of storms, I can sit content because I know he's right there. Spend time in God's word. It says it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And make worship a lifestyle. Worship is not just something we do on a Sunday morning, you guys. It's a lifestyle that we live Monday through Saturday and come in and live it out corporately on a Sunday morning together. And remember, if we're going to wait well, remember this scripture and then I'm done. Always remember, we find strength in waiting on the Lord. How do we know that? Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings on like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not grow faint. You want a strong 2026 spiritually? Go read about Simeon, because I think he is a wonderful example to confirm to our hearts who Christ is, but that example of what it looks like to have the Holy Spirit lead us in our lives and just be obedient to God along the way. Tanner, would you come pray for us, and then we'll close?
Let's pray. Father, would you help us to not wander from these truths of Christmas, of the story of Jesus coming to be with us, of Simeon and the shepherds, the angels, the magi coming to confirm the obedience of Mary and Joseph. Help us to remember that it is now our task with this information we've been given through your word to go walk faithfully and obediently just like they have before us. And God, I pray that for each and every soul in this room and anyone listening, you would give us the grace to wait well, to walk patiently, to endure the storms, and to walk through whatever it is that you have before us faithfully, full of hope, because we know the one who came to save us. God, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. And let us be a people marked by that gratitude that we have been saved out of a place we could not save ourselves from. Lord, you are our Savior. You are our God. And that's what we wish to look at and focus on coming into this new year, is that you are good. God, this is our prayer this morning. We pray you go with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.